We all come from mothers that sacrificed a lot in order to bring us into the world and raise us. So here are some tips to show your mother just how grateful you are this Mother's Day. Forget the cards and flowers this year. Give mom a gift she can treasure forever. A giant tattoo across your arm that says mom inside a heart. Don't give mom homemade crafts or framed pictures. Give her something with value, like a crisp $5 bill that she can spend anywhere she wants. And finally, give your mother the gift you know she'll love. You. Move back in with her and allow her to do your laundry and cook your meals for you. It will show her what a great mother you think she is, and you'll save money on rent. Everybody wins. These have been Deep Thoughts from a Shallow Christian.
Happy Mother's Day. Woo, Mom, we're helping you out today. In fact, let me just kind of help you a little bit more, Mom. If you are 40 years old and you are still living at home with your mother, get your butt out. You should not be there. You should not be there. I'm going to tell you, Mom, that is my gift for you right now, okay? For moms, that's if you got a 40, get them out of there. Man, that's not helping them at all. Happy Mother's Day. Man, we're glad you're here today. My name is Mark. I'm one of the pastors here. Welcome to all the venues and welcome to our live stream right now at 10 o'clock. Glad that you are here with us today. Today, we are in week 3 of a series we started a couple weeks ago, and we're going to end it next week. We're calling it Margin. And what we're doing is we're looking at margin in life. We're looking at margin in time. How do we have more time margin and different things? How do we schedule that? We're talking about margin with our finances, because most of the country here in the U.S. are underwater. They don't have enough money to go to the end of the month. So we're going to talk about that next week. Today, though, we're talking about moral margin, specifically how to build moral margin for you, moms, for your marriage, if you're married, or for your future marriage, and for your kids. This is something that we all need as adults, as moms, as dads, as husbands, as wives, as single people, and as students. This is something that we desperately need. In fact, let me just ask you a question. Each venue can play along, and those on the online campus can as well. Let me ask you, how many of you, now don't point, but just raise a hand if this is you, how many of you know of somebody that has been wrecked by sexual sin? Would you raise up your hand? Don't point. Okay, because some of you are like going like this, some of you are like going like this, some of you are going like this. I mean, there's quite a bit, right? There's quite a bit. If we were honest, probably all of us have known somebody that kind of got wrecked on the rocks of something that was immoral, something that was a sexual sin. And here's the thing, you know, sometimes we see that in our society, in our world, that people are struggling and addicted to maybe pornography. Maybe you know somebody that had sexual relations before they were married. They got pregnant. They were scared. They had an abortion. And they're like, oh, my goodness. There's so many things. Maybe you know somebody that has actually had an affair. Or maybe somebody got an STD or had AIDS. And you just see all these things. And I'm going to tell you, we see these in other people. And it breaks our hearts. And what's interesting is this, is that nobody ever came to me as a pastor over the years I've been a pastor. No one's ever come up to me and said, you know what, Mark, my 5-year goal is to have an affair. Nobody's ever said that before. My 5-year goal is to be addicted to pornography. Nobody has ever said those things before. You know what I've heard over and over and over and over again as a pastor? I've heard something like this. I never thought it would happen to me. And all of a sudden we realize, oh, it could happen. Now, some of you are sitting here right now going, yeah, I know those poor other people, but I know for me, it'll never happen for me. But that's what those other people said. And it did happen. And so today we're going to talk about this. We're going to be kind of honest about some stuff. We're going to be talking about how do we have moral margin for ourselves, our future spouse, or if we're married, our current spouse, and for our kids. How do we handle this? How do we do it God's way? Because I'm going to tell you, we're going to look at some things today where it's going to tell us God speaks a lot about this subject. And here's the thing I want you to understand. When you go, what is moral margin? Great question. Glad you asked. Let's look at it. You can either take notes on our app or in the note card in your program, whichever one. But what is moral margin? Here's what moral margin is. It is putting distance between you and temptation. It is putting distance between you and temptation so that you aren't tempted. You have a kind of a buffer right there. And we're going to look at some scriptures that talk about this. In fact, let me give you one of the scriptures right now. It says this in James in the New Testament. It says, when tempted, now listen to this, when tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me. No, don't say it. For God, listen, for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone, right? And then the next part of the verse goes on and says this, but each one of us is tempted when by his own evil desire he is dragged away. Listen, he is dragged away or she is dragged away. And what's the next word? Enticed. We're going to come back to that. Then now listen to the imagery of this part. Then after desire has conceived, what happens after it conceives? Well, it tells us in the next part. It gives birth, so there's an image right there. It gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to what? Death. Now, can I tell you what kind of death that is? That is not physical death. Because again, we've talked about this before, if you're regular C3er, it tells us in scripture that it is appointed for man and women to once die. Every one of us will die a physical death. Congratulations, happy Mother's Day, you're gonna die. I mean, isn't that awesome? But that's not what this verse is talking about. This verse is talking about a spiritual death. This is talking about if you go down this direction, you will spiritually die. And this is not God's heart for you and I. Now that word that said enticed is really in our language, it's really more of hook. It's kind of like the idea of fishing. There's this hook, it's got some bait on it, and you're the fish. And the enemy has got this hook. He's trying to entice you. And when you fall for that temptation, all of a sudden you get hooked. He's reeling you in, and it will lead to death, spiritual death. This is God in his infinite wisdom. This is God with a loving heart. This is God, our Heavenly Father, warning us, saying, be careful. Don't play with this. This is dangerous. If anything is going to hurt you, it will be this. And yet, I've had so many people over the years of being a pastor, many times they're single people who come up to me and say, hey, Mark, I'm dating so-and-so, and where is the line where I can go up to but not cross where it's sin? In other words, what they're really saying is, how close to sin can I get without really sinning, without actually crossing that line? And I want you to stop and think for a moment. In what other areas of life do we do that? You know, would we take a gun and put in three bullets in there and spin the chamber and go, okay, I wonder how many times I can click and not get killed? Nobody, that's stupid. Nobody would do that. How about if you're climbing up one of the mountains here in Tri-Cities and as you're going up, you see a rattlesnake. Would you go and try to find out how close you can get without getting bit? That would be stupid. You would go, well, I'm going to walk around this way. I'm not going to even get near that thing. But yet when it comes to sexual temptation, when it comes to sexual sin, we say, hey, I'm dating someone. How close can I get to sin without actually going over? How close can I get, Mark? I just want to do just enough to where I don't really sin. I don't really come, hurt God or do, I don't want to do that. How close can I get to sin? And I want to tell you, there's a verse in the Bible where I love how God is so honest in things. And we're going to look at it in 1 Corinthians, and here's what it says. The first word is what? Say it with me. Okay, I'm sure other venues, you guys were loud. We were kind of asleep in here. We're going to try that again. What's the first word say?
Flee.
Flee. Did you know it says this, flee from sexual immorality? Nowhere in Scripture does it say anything else like that. It never says flee from overeating. It never says flee from gossiping. It says flee from sexual immorality. In other words, my favorite movie line, run, Forrest, run. That's what God is saying to us. Don't mess with it. Don't play with it. You flee from sexual immorality. All other sins, now listen to this, all other sins that a man or a woman commits are outside his or her body. But, listen, but he or she who sins sexually sins against their own body. They sin against their own body. God is warning us. God is telling us this is not something that you should be a part of. And some of you are going, well, wait a minute. I thought it's just a sin. But this sounds like this is like a different sin. I thought all sins were the same. Wow, that's great. But let's talk about that. Let me give you a couple things for your notes. The first thing for your notes is this. All sins are not the same. All sins are not the same. Yes, these sins will separate you and I from God. When we sin, our sins separate us from God. But all sins don't cost us the same things. All sins don't cost us the same things. Let me give you like an example. It's Mother's Day, in case you forgot. It's Mother's Day. And all of a sudden, you're maybe like this afternoon, you're going to like maybe take mom out to brunch, or you're going to make something at home for her, and like you're writing something in their card, and you're writing all this really gushy, lovey, lovey-dovey stuff, all that stuff. And really, you mean most of it, but you're kind of exaggerating a little bit to kind of make mom even feel better, right? You know, anybody do that but me? No, okay, anyway, I can say that because my mom's not in the service. Okay, so anyway, but you write these things. Let me tell you, even though you're kind of sometimes maybe kind of stretching the truth, or it's a little white lie, there's probably no consequence for that. Your mom's not going to say, liar, I'm not this good, right? Your mom's not going to say that. She's right. That. No. So there's really not any sort of thing. Even though you're telling a little white lie, there's really no repercussion for that. But let's say that after church today, you are driving mom to go get brunch somewhere, and you're like, you want to beat the other churches that get out of time. You want to get to the restaurants first and or the buffets or whatever, and you're getting there, and you're driving a little bit fast. You're like 10 miles over the speed limit, and a cop pulls you over. There may be a little bit of something that happens there. You may get a ticket and have to pay a few bucks, but that's basically it. Or maybe, let's say you're a student and you're at school tomorrow and you begin to tell stories that maybe are not true, or maybe they're true, but you're embellishing them, make them bigger, and you're telling about a friend of yours, somebody, this person, and you're kind of gossiping about them. Or as an adult, you go to work tomorrow and you're kind of gossiping about another coworker. You know, what you might have there is you might lose a friend. There's kind of some sort of little thing, but it's not a huge thing. You might lose a friend. But I'm going to tell you, when you have sexual sin, when you get to that point where all of a sudden you are having possibly an affair, maybe it's a sexual one, maybe it's an emotional one first, but you are having that, all of a sudden, I'm going to tell you, not only will it affect you, it will affect your spouse, it will affect your kids, it will affect everybody around you, even the families and the friends around you. Because all of a sudden, as this happens and it comes out, all of a sudden people are going, oh, I don't know, I feel sorry for him or I feel sorry for her. And all of a sudden, okay, we can only be friends with one of them. And so what are we going to do? And so all of a sudden, we're kind of divvying up who we're going to be friends with. And it's just awkward for everybody. And it affects your entire family, you, your spouse, and your kids. And some of you know this because you've been there. Some of you know this because you are there right now. And my heart in talking about this is to help those of us who are maybe getting close to that line to say, no, we don't want to go any farther. We need to back up. We need to change. We need to be different. You see, it tells us in verse 19 and 20, it says, do you not know that your body is a temple? Listen, your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God. And then it goes on and it says this on the next part. You are not your own. Woo! Did you know you are not your own? You were bought. Listen to this. You were bought by a price. The price of Jesus Christ dying on the cross to pay for your sins if you so choose to accept it. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your, say it with me, what? Body. Let me tell you, you're like, well, it's my body. I can do whatever I want. Listen, if you are not a believer in God, you are not a follower of Christ, you can do whatever you want. God says, go for it. It still breaks his heart. He still wants a relationship with you. He accepts you right where you are, but he loves you too much to leave you there. He's going to try to grow you and stretch you. But if you are not a follower of God, you can live however you want. But if you are a follower of God, you are a Christian, you've accepted Jesus Christ as Lord of your life and Savior of your soul, all of a sudden, no, you can't do whatever you want with your body, because all of a sudden you are the temple of the Holy Spirit. God takes up residence within you. In the Old Testament, some of us remember the movie Raiders of the Lost Ark. Remember the Ark of the Covenant? That was where God's presence rested in the Old Testament. In the New Testament, We are the Ark of the Covenant. God's presence is in us when we have a relationship with him. And God is calling us to a higher standard, a higher level. Again, we're going, well, it's my body, and you know everybody else is doing it. But as we talked about the last couple of weeks, whenever society or the world says go this way, God always says go the opposite way. God calls you and I, if you are a follower of Jesus Christ, God calls you and I to a higher standard, a higher level. This is what God has called it for you and I. And then we see in another verse, in Ephesians, it says this. It says, but among you, now he's talking to Christians, he's writing this to Christians, but among you, those who are followers of Christ, there must not even be a, say what, a what? A hint. There shouldn't even be a hint of sexual immorality. Not even a hint of sexual immorality. In other words, the standard for the world is low. God is going, I raise the standard. If you're a follower of me, I don't even want you to have a hint of sexual immorality. Don't even get close to it. Don't even do any of those things. Be safe in all of these areas. But yet, what do we do? Well, everybody else is doing it. And I, you know, if here's the line where I begin to cross over into sin, I can get right up to it. I'm good. I can kind of flirt a little bit. No, not even a hint. It said flee from sexual immorality. Remember that? The verse we said a little bit ago? Flee from it. It doesn't say play with it. It doesn't say get close to it. It says flee, go the other direction, the other way. But what do? We play. We get close as we can to the line. And God is warning us. He's going, this will take you down. This will hurt you. There will be death, spiritual death. And it will not only hurt you, it'll hurt those around you. If you're married, it'll hurt them. It'll hurt your kids. Why would you do that? Let me tell you what I read this week as I was preparing for the message. I read an article, and I pray to God that it's not true. But this is what it said. It said in the U.S., 65% of men, which is basically every 2 out of 3 men, and 55% of women, which is just a little over half of all women, will have an affair by the age of 40. By the age of 40. Now listen, some of you right now are going, dang, I'm 41, I missed it, I'm late. I mean, no, don't think that way. Don't think that way. But what this is telling me, listen, that if you are 40 and over, 2/3 of you men right now, in our venues or online right now, this is telling me that 2/3 of you men have had an affair. Ladies, this is telling me that if you are 40 or above, 55, a little over half of you have had an affair already. So this is something we got to talk about. Well, I want a feel-good message on Mother's Day. This is what you need. This is what we all need. We need to understand this as moms. We need to understand this as dads. We need to understand this as young singles. We need to understand this as students. But yet, we like to put our head in the sand and think, oh, that won't happen to me. That won't happen to my spouse. That won't happen to my kid. And then all of a sudden you're going, I never thought it would happen to me, but it did. And so what we're trying to do today, we're trying to talk about real stuff. We're trying to talk about how do we not wreck our life and maybe our family's life on the rocks of sinful things. What does God want us to do? How are we to do things? See, here's the problem. We will say things like that. Well, you know, when you cross the line, that's an affair. But, you know, that line's way over here. But, Mark, what if I were just to go out to coffee or lunch with a coworker, maybe somebody of the opposite sex, and we're just, like, really good friends and we're talking? That's not crossing a line because the line for adultery is way over here, and I'm not over there. I'm over here. And what if while you're there, what if while we're there having lunch or coffee or whatever, all of a sudden we begin talking with each other. And as we're talking with each other, all of a sudden we're kind of like sharing stuff about our spouse. Here's problems with my spouse. You're telling me problems with your spouse. What if we were to do that? If we're talking about those things, all of a sudden, you know, the line of affair is way over here. So I'm not even near that. I'm like way over here instead. I'm not even close to that yet. And then what if, as we're getting together, you know, what if we're like, you know, we really kind of laugh and we're having a good time, and over time we keep meeting, we just kind of start sharing how we feel about each other. I mean, I gotta let my heart lead me, right? I mean, I can't be false to my heart. I gotta be honest. I mean, but you know, here's the line of affair way over here, and I'm not over there yet. I'm over on this part right here. I'm not even close to it yet. And all of a sudden, what we don't even realize, listen, yes, here's the line when you cross over for affair, but I believe there's other lines that lead up to that, that we cross over, that we don't even pay attention to, that we think it's okay, and all of a sudden, as we cross each one, little by little, we are marching closer to the snake, and we're going to get bit. And all of a sudden, we go, I never thought it happened to me. What happened? Some of you, as I'm speaking this right now, some of you are going, yep, I've been there. That was me, or that was my spouse, and it ruined or affected our marriage. It ruined or affected my kids. Some of you said, been there, done that. Some of you are going, I'm there right now. That's what I'm going through. That's what my spouse is going through, and it's affecting us right this moment, Mark. And I'm going to tell you, this is something, if you're honest, for some of you, this is stepping on your toes. This is hurting. But I'm going to tell you, this is what church is about. God's going, talk about real things. Talk about honest things. Talk about where's the problem and how do we fix it? How do we make sure that we don't cross these lines so that we get bit by the snake, so that we don't cross this other one and all of a sudden it's ruining us, our family, and our spouse? How do we protect ourselves from this? And I'm so glad that you asked that question. Because I want to give us, for the remainder of our time, I want to give us eight suggestions, things that we can actually apply to our life to where we can draw the moral margin line. Some of you, as I go through some of these eight, you're going, oh, that's extravagant. That's over the top. Exactly. There's a reason why some of these that we're going to talk about are going to be over the top. Because here's the thing. God always calls us, if you are a follower of Christ, God calls us always to a higher standard. And so here's the first one. We're going to go through it real quick. Dress for spiritual success. Dress for spiritual success. Guys, when you're at the gym, we don't need to see your abs. We don't need to see your guns. Ladies, God endowed you with some things. Some of you, maybe the doctor endowed you with some things, right? But can I freely tell you, you don't show them to us. You show them to your husband or your future husband. That is not for us. And ladies, let me talk to you for just a moment. I think you already know this, but just in case you don't, men are more visual than women. And I want to tell you, when you are dressing a certain way and you are showing certain things, you have to know that you are attracting attention on yourself, and you are causing other people to begin to stumble, other men to begin to stumble. And God is saying, first of all, I don't want you to cause people to stumble, other guys, but also, my daughter, God is saying to you, I don't want you to be looked at as a piece of meat.